A few months ago, I went to my parents' house, and I was digging through some of my old things, and I came across my iPod Touch, and I remember looking at it, and I remember when it was brand new. First of all, I have to explain to the younger generation that the iPod Touch was like an iPhone, but you couldn't text or call on it. But I remember, you know, saving up my birthday money. I remember going to Best Buy and getting it. And then, of course, I remember, you know, you take it out of the package. There's that layer of plastic that's so satisfying to take off. And then, of course, I remember that Apple symbol that lit up on the screen. And I was just so excited to have this iPod. You know, I've had my truck for quite a few years now, but I remember that feeling of driving it for the first time. And now, if all of us have owned a new car, we all know that there's no other feeling like getting a brand new car. It has all the new features on it that our old cars didn't have. It has that new car smell that we try to preserve as long as possible. Now, I say these things because we love new things. There's excitement we get from new things. But after a while, that excitement wears off, doesn't it? I mean, my brand new iPod Touch is now a historical artifact. The screen's cracked, and you know, I don't need it anymore. I have a newer iPhone, I have a newer iPad. My new truck now has over 100,000 miles on it. That new car smell has been gone for years. It's sturdy, it's scratched and dented, and in a few years I'll probably have to get a new car. Because that's what happens. Our new things get old and we replace them with newer things. Did someone say amen to that? I want us to remember the moment when we became Christians. You know, I remember feeling refreshed when I came out of the water at my baptism. I was excited about my new life in Christ. So do we all remember that feeling? You know, we're excited about Jesus. We're eager to learn as much as we can. We dig into our Bibles. We look forward to coming to worship. We probably couldn't keep quiet about our new faith. But like our new things, does the excitement of our faith wear off over time? I mean, we may get out of the habit of reading our Bible. We may find excuses not to come to worship. We may feel uncomfortable talking about our faith with others. For some of us, we may feel like we've gotten stale in our faith, meaning we aren't as excited about Jesus as we once were. Maybe we're wrestling with doubt. Maybe we just tune out during worship. Living as a Christian shouldn't be this way. So if we do find ourselves in a place like this, how can we prevent the newness of our faith from wearing off? I hope you have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, I'll be in chapter 5 this morning. Now, this letter is different from the first one that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul has new challenges that he's facing, and one of them is that there are false teachers in Corinth that are trying to ruin Paul's reputation. So Paul uses this as an opportunity to defend himself. He writes about him being sincere and honest in doing what he's doing. And as we read Paul's words, well, it's clear what Paul's purpose is. I'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what's in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It's the fear and love of God that drives Paul to preach the gospel. Paul is able to endure suffering and persecution because, well, the end goal is on his mind. Heaven is clear in his sight. So after all Paul has gone through, well, he knows his purpose, and he's sticking to it. Paul goes on to encourage the Christians in Corinth as well. Let's pick up in verse 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Paul is reminding these Christians about their purpose. He is reminding them about their new identity in Christ. And the way that Paul encourages these Christians, well, it's also encouraging for us. There's a lesson to learn from this. When we look at Scripture, we need to notice that we are given reasons to be excited about living for Jesus. Because in Christ, all things are new. We have a new heart given by him. We have a new purpose for him and a new hope for the future. So it doesn't matter how long that we've been a Christian. We can be refreshed every single day by being reminded of the new things that we have in Christ. So in order to prevent ourselves from feeling stale, well, this morning, let's focus on the reasons to be excited about our faith. In Christ, we are a new creation. Look with me again, then in verse 17. Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Christ, the old has passed away and the new has come. When I was in Boy Scouts, we went on this camp where we spent 5 days in the mountains, no running water, one change of clothes. And when I got home, I took the best shower I've ever had. In fact, I felt like a brand new person because I got that layer of filth and dirt that was just caked on my skin for the whole week. Let's remember that Christ has cleansed us from the filth of our sins. Look with me, hold your place here. Look with me over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'll start in verse 3. Verse 3, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Verse 10, "For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Notice what's said there. When we were baptized, that is the moment when we died to sin and we were given a new life in Christ. We ended one life and we're starting a new one. He's raised us up. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's given us a fresh new start. And because of Christ, we need to remember that our sin becomes a part of our past. Are we still bothered by things that we've done in the past? You know, I imagine that may have done things in the past that we're not proud of, and we still may feel guilt and remorse maybe years later. But we need to remember that because of Christ, all this is put behind us. By being new creatures, we are able to say that because of Christ, I'm not that person anymore. I've changed. I've been forgiven. I have a new life. We can say that because Christ, he puts our sins in the past and it gives us a new life. But we need to make sure that moving forward, things will continue to be different. Because in Christ, he also gives us a new life. Look with me now over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll be starting in verse 21. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's important how we live after becoming Christians. So there's a reason why Paul talks about the new self versus the old self. That the old self is dirty and corrupted with sin. You know, after I got back from that scout camp and took a shower, well, you better believe that I didn't put those dirty camp clothes on. I probably threw those away because it was dirty. They were stinky. They were nasty. I just got clean. I don't want to get dirty again by putting on these old, dirty clothes. We need to realize that this new life we have is a new life in Christ. If something is a part of our sinful past, well, it needs to stay there so it won't come back and corrupt us. Because by being made new in Christ, it means that we've reformed our lives. We've changed our ways by being in Christ. And so to prevent this old self from returning and corrupting us, well, look again in verse 23, look what it says there. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. In Christ, we have a new mindset. This is a mindset that allows us to overcome temptation. This is a mindset that allows us to live righteously in a corrupted world. This is a mindset that allows us to please God. So by being in Christ, realize this, that we've reformed our lives and we've renewed our minds. To sum it up in one word, we've been transformed by Christ. Look on the screen, one of my favorite verses, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'll say it again, in Christ we have been transformed. But let me be honest with you all. This isn't a change that will happen overnight. Because, well, as we all know, change takes time with anything. So in this process of being transformed, well, let's acknowledge that we will continue to struggle with sin. No matter where we are in our walk, Well, I hope we all agree that failing to sin is disappointing, especially when we know to do better. I'm sure you've had this feeling before, but sometimes I'll do something and I'll have guilt and remorse over it. But overall, I'm thinking, I said, I hate feeling like I've failed God. Have you ever felt that way before? Well, let's acknowledge that. Well, it's better to acknowledge our sin than to let it go ignored. Because when we acknowledge our sin, well, at least we can ask for forgiveness and continue to change. This process of change is something that we will continue to work at every day for the rest of our lives. We will continue to repent. We need to continue to ask for forgiveness. And we will continue to reform and renew. So to prevent ourselves from falling back into sin and getting in a spiritual slump, well, we need to walk in the new life that Christ gave us. Because in him, we are new creations. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and explains that in Christ, we've also been given a new purpose. Look with me again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll start in verse 18. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Notice what Paul is saying to these Christians, that not only do they have a new identity in Christ, but they also have a new purpose. And their purpose is also our purpose, that since we have been reconciled with God, we now have this responsibility to go into the world and share this message with others. And because we have this responsibility, Paul describes us as ambassadors of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? We are being representatives for Jesus. We are being useful to him. When I was a kid, I was pretty, I would say, outspoken about my faith. I remember in second grade, our teacher gave us this assignment to write a paragraph based on the prompt, "My Wish for the World." And I wrote, "I wish that the whole world will come to know Jesus." And I was, I'll never forget this. I got the paper back and she graded it a C and said something about it being too religious. Listen, I didn't care. If anyone needed to know the gospel, it was Miss Ritchie. She was a mean old woman. But do any of us remember being like that? Maybe when we first became Christians, like this was something that we couldn't keep quiet about. We wanted to prove to the world that we've changed. But over time, we may notice ourselves not being that way anymore. Is there a reason why we stopped doing what we used to do? Look with me over in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Of course, this is the first letter that's written to the seven churches. I'll be starting in Revelation 2, verse 2. This is what Jesus is saying to them. Jesus says in verse 2, "I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you had abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus knows what's going on with this church. He knows the good things they are doing. They are putting up with false teachers at this church. They are putting up with a bad group called the Nicolaitans. Like, they are striving. They are doing good things. But there's something that Jesus calls them out on. Jesus calls them out because, well, it seems like that they've stopped doing what they used to do when they first became Christians. Now, maybe for them that excitement and passion wore off. But we see how Jesus responds to them. He urges them to repent and do what they did at first. I want us all to recognize here this morning that our new purpose continues to be our purpose. There isn't a moment in the Bible where Jesus says, okay, you've done so much, you don't have to do this anymore. There isn't a moment in the Bible when we are told to stop being ambassadors. Because when we leave here, we will continue to represent Jesus in our homes, at our jobs, and everywhere else, basically. But like the church in Ephesus, we may need to reignite the passion that we first had. Because what will others think if we're not excited about living for Jesus? What will others think if we're not excited about sharing the gospel? Well, we won't be very effective or convincing. Let's be reminded of the power that the gospel holds. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is our motivation. Our motive is for others to come to Jesus. For the past few months, this church has been blessed with seeing so many people make the decision to be baptized. I mean, that's been motivating. That's been so encouraging to see these people make the decision. And it's all I want to do is just see more people make that decision. So let's continue to remember this purpose. Let's continue to be motivated. Because we've been given a new purpose in Christ. We can be useful to the kingdom. Let's continue to be passionate about sharing this message. Lastly, in Christ, we can be excited because we've been given a new hope. Let's take a look at the kind of hope that comes from the Bible. Near the end of 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, Paul is talking about all he's went through for Christ. He's been beaten up. He's been arrested. He's been stoned. He's been shipwrecked. But none of these things takes away the hope that's been given to him. Why is that? What is this hope that keeps Paul motivated? Well, let's go back a chapter before chapter 5. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll be starting in verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Paul sees the big picture. He reminds us that our bodies will get old and broken and die and decay. But that's not the end for us. Now, in fact, Paul wasn't the only apostle that held on to his hope. Peter also reminds us of this hope. Look over with me now in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll start in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The resurrection of Christ provides hope for us, that because we have been born again, he has rescued us from a spiritual death. He has saved us from our sin. Because we have been born again, we have the hope of being resurrected with Christ. And I hope you caught it there in verse 4. It says we have an inheritance. Well, what kind of inheritance is this? Look again with me in verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We have an inheritance of eternal life with Jesus. But look down with me in verse 13. It tells us that there's even more things to come. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. By being born again, we've received grace from Christ, but Peter reminds us that there's even more grace to come. There's more things we will receive when Jesus returns. So until then, Peter says we need to set our minds and look forward to these things that will be given to us. Are we excited about what's in store for us? Look, we are blessed to live in this country. We live in homes with AC and running water. I can go down there to HEB and grab whatever I want and how much I want. We can come worship every single week without the fear of being arrested or persecuted. We can live comfortably. But while these things are pretty great, well, we can get too comfortable in this life. That these luxuries on earth, they can distract us from the greater things that God has promised us. They can take our eyes off these promises. So to prevent ourselves from getting distracted, well, we can't neglect our spiritual needs. We need to remember that our spirits need to be cared for just as much as our physical bodies do. Because even though our spirits, our bodies get old and broken, our new things get destroyed, our spirits can remain new and strong. We need to remember the hope that's been given to us. We need to let it stir our excitement for what's ahead, because in Christ, we've been provided a great hope for the future. Christ offers us new things. In him, we are new creations. In him, we have a new purpose. And in him, we have a new hope. Are we excited about these new things? Let's remember that the Lord sees us as his children. By being new creations, the Lord loves us. He knows us. By having a new purpose, well, we are being useful to God. He knows the good things that we are doing for him. And in him, we have the hope of eternal life. that while our bodies will, even though we're all going to die one day, our souls will live on. Let's remember why we have these new things. We have these things because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. He died, he gave his life so that we may have new life. As I said earlier, in the past few months, we've seen so many people make the decision to be made new in Christ by being baptized for the remission of their sins. Well, this morning you can make that same decision. If there's anyone here that is struggling or you're feeling like you are stale in your faith, please remember that, well, there's a family here that is willing to provide you guidance, that is willing to offer you prayer. But if there is anyone here who is ready to be made anew in Christ, you can make that decision this morning. So if there is anyone here in need of these things, you may come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing.